What's going on? How are you? Rich, what's happening?
Not much. What's going on, everybody?
Yeah, we just came over from the live. We do the live Q&A every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, before this on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube.
Yep.
So for those of you joining us, I feel like my face is red because there's red glow on my face. Does that feel?
I feel like your face does not look red.
Oh, interesting. Anyhow, you know, look, doing the podcast thing, I think it's interesting. You know, first thing I guess I'll mention quickly is this stuff up yet?
No.
So why are we mentioning it now?
Because this is going to be up very soon.
So very soon we're going to have some new merch here. Yeah.
We're going to have this up in a couple of days or so.
We got this one?
Today or tomorrow.
We have... this one?
Yeah, we got
we have
some new hats.
We got that one. Let me tell you what's the difference, and also here and the gray one. And you know, we'll put it up to my forehead so everybody knows what it looks like when I wear a hat.
There you go.
And so the cool thing about these hats is they're 47 brand hats. They are super nice quality, really long lasting snuff.
Long lasting snuff.
You know, have this little thing here, you can adjust, and obviously this is also one of those snaps, so you can, you know, adjust it. It's very nice.
We got new merch.
Yeah, we got new merch. It's pretty exciting.
It'll be up on our web store by this weekend.
Yeah, and new shirt design.
There you go.
It's happening. So anyhow, that stuff will be on our.
We have the new Koenig Spring line by Kate Spade.
We just got fined $1 million for
saying
that. Yeah,
I know. I'm sorry. I can't say that.
But yeah, so anyhow, so we got new merch. So interesting thing that's happened this week, and it's been viral, I think, on every aspect. I always drew the chair that has the armrest where if you lean on it, it goes down.
Mm.
Interesting thing. Everybody's seen this clip, I think, at this point, right? The clip where...
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think it was in California. It's a clip where... you have the Kia Soul minding its own business in the left lane, driving, doing nothing wrong, just driving. And out of nowhere, it looks like a Ford F-150 loses a wheel. It goes underneath. Here it comes. Goes underneath the Kia Soul and whoop, up into the air with great acrobatic skills.
Can we play the whole video, Max? it's only like a four-second clip or something.
This thing goes sky high. I mean, when I say it goes sky high, I mean, it's unbelievable. But so now here's the controversy, right? You were starting to bring this up. We were just talking about this the other day. Mm-hmm. So go ahead with... with that.
Well, I think the most important thing to say in the very beginning is
watch it. I mean, for everybody while we talk, watch this. This is unbelievable.
There was no serious injuries.
Is that right?
That occurred from this, which is the most important
thing.
Watch this.
Here comes
late.
Here comes everyone. Here comes. Boom! Shot fired. Holy goodness! Oh my god! Oh my god! I'm so happy that they're okay because that looks.
It's insane.
That car goes 20-something feet up in the air.
You know how much money they pay Vin Diesel to do stuff like that?
I mean, like, look, this whoa! I mean, look, all right. Let's stop right there. Leave it right there. So let's say that that vehicle has to be, what?
15
feet? It's got a little lift on it. Hold on a second.
Oh.
That truck that's next to it that lost the wheel, that truck from bottom to roof has to be 10 feet. 9 feet, somewhere in that area. Would you agree with that?
9 feet's kind of, yeah, like, I guess.
I don't know.
It's
lifted, right? It's got a lift on it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
So I'm thinking like
six.
It's always over my head, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so let's say it's got to be 8.5, 9 feet tall,
right?
That's there's there. And this car, at least the rear end of this car, is noticeably over it by almost 3 or 4 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 15 feet in the air.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, this thing, whoa, you know?
Oh,
anyhow,
my God.
I'm super happy that they're all okay. That's number one.
Yeah, apparently the driver of the Kia like had like minor, very minor injuries.
I mean, I guess, listen, one up on the Kia thing.
Yeah,
huh?
The Kia Soul.
Kia Soul takes a licking and keeps on ticking. So when then the wheel hits it, just to add insult to injury.
It comes back for more.
Just to add that wheel out of nowhere. The wheel's gone. First off, it trips it up, and then it comes back, and it's like, I'll finish the job.
Damn.
That's right? Crazy. That wheel was savage.
I was saying to Max that the craziest part about this stuff is...
Max, can you do me a favor? When you get to the part where the wheel is just starting to flop around, see if you could pause it right there with the wheel. I want to see... Let's see if we can... See some things on that wheel. But go ahead, you keep talking.
Whoa. But all right, so what I was saying to Max is the crazy part about this stuff is like if you were say you're that truck on the other side of oncoming traffic.
The wheel kills me every time.
Well, and you had to like explain to someone that you saw like what you saw, like, oh, a car went flying 15 feet in the air. Everyone's gonna be like, you're an idiot. Like that did not happen.
I know.
But in today's day and age, this is captured on perfectly good quality camera footage, and everyone can really see that this crazy stuff happened.
Yeah. Max, can you try to, I know it's hard, but can you try to push in on that wheel a little bit?
Imagine being that guy right there on the other side of the road and just being like, the car was 15 feet in the air, I swear.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be tough. I don't think we could see anything. I'll tell you what I'm trying to see in a minute. Damn. Okay. All right, I think that's the picture. I can't. Yeah, let's stay right there for a second. Okay. Now, one of the things that brought to our attention, and you can come back to showing us for a second, and we'll cut back to this. Don't unpause this, Max. Just we're gonna toggle back and forth. So one of the things that you had brought up to me was you said, hey, like, you know, now you heard that Governor Newsom from California is trying to do this to basically go after modified vehicles.
Of course.
Again.
Yep.
Right. So we were talking about this and we're like, wait a minute, hold on. Like, I understand that the vehicle, quote unquote, was modified, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if that's confirmed, to be honest.
I mean, right. I don't know if it's confirmed. I mean, I would say that the vehicle appeared to have a lift kit and it appeared to have wheels that were clearly lower offset or sticking out. And there's a strong possibility that was done through the use of spacers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, well, if it was just like all-terrain tires, big tires, and maybe not, but like, is that considered, that's not mod if you have like just,
well, I think anytime tires. You touch something, it's modified. But so here's my thing. Let's talk about the things that could have went wrong that caused this.
Could have. Yeah.
Okay. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We're speculating.
We are.
Okay. Number one, we could have had a hub failure. Mm-hmm. In other words, unrelated to anything that's there, you could have had a higher mile. The vehicle was not brand new. It looked like an older F-150, like probably somewhere in the 2012, 2014 realm. I mean, if I looked correctly. And I mean, I could be wrong. It maybe not even an F-150. Maybe it was some Tacoma. Silverado. Sorry. So it's Silverado, and it's possible the thing is, you know, a 200,000-mile Silverado. Possible. We don't know anything.
We don't know. Yep.
It's possible it's a 200,000-mile Silverado. Yeah, it's definitely Silverado. And what ends up happening is it has a hub failure because maybe the last vehicle inspection it had, the hub just wasn't really that good or was marginal. Person says, I'm going to get it fixed. Doesn't get fixed. The hub detaches from the vehicle and shoots off the car. Now, if we watch real slow, bring that back just a little bit. Can we see any wobbling into the wheel?
For like 1 second.
Right. Like, well, it's starting to happen there. Now, so here's a question. So let's talk about things that could have went wrong. The hub of the vehicle.
Right there.
Right.
It's
before that. If you watch the bottom of the tread. Watch the bottom of the tread of the front wheel. Here it comes. Watch the bottom of the tread. Right there, it's starting to wobble. Right there, it's starting to wobble.
That's why you have glasses. I'm sitting here blind as
I'm
a
just
guy.
Telling you, right there, it's starting to wobble. I'm watching the bottom. Now, as you play it, see, and it just breaks off. Boom. Gone. So, now, we saw this same thing happen.
James Houghton.
That's right.
James Houghton, yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was not a wheel issue. That was not an aftermarket issue. That was a stock Honda Hub
mm-hmm.
that left the building, left the chat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it broke. And vehicle things like this, they do happen. So before Governor Newsom points the finger and says this is because of a modified vehicle, I think they should at least do a fact-finding exploration and find out if that's what it was. That's number one.
That's number crazy. Two,
this could have happened from improperly torquing the lug hardware on the vehicle. Okay, so option number one, the hub goes bad, separates from the vehicle. Okay,
yep.
Here's why I think there's a strong possibility that may even be the case. When you see the wheel a little bit further down in this clip, you see something shiny. It could be a spacer.
Yep.
It also could be the back part of the hub where the where everything bolts to. It could have stayed bolted to, like, you know, where the rotor assembly, that part of it.
Yes.
Could have stayed bolted when it separated from the bearing.
Yeah, with the wheel right. still, yeah.
And here, it's coming up here.
You can't tell, though.
I know. It's very... But see, like, that would be a... You know, I mean, you don't know if it's an 8-lug vehicle or 6-lug vehicle. It's really tough to... that wheel, it just comes back to finish the job. It's right there. To me, that almost looks like a rotor.
Yeah, no, it does. It does look like a rotor.
Like, it doesn't look like a spacer because I'm looking at that inside, that area that's black, and it's very difficult to tell. So I can't, I'm being 100% honest. I don't know. That, remember, this is going to be a big wheel. This is probably a 20-inch wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So for a Silverado, especially if it's not anything crazy, it wouldn't have this massive rotor as far as height-wise. That would be proportionally correct,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so a spacer would be much smaller, you know? I mean, it could be a 6-lug truck or an 8-lug truck. I mean, it could be an 8-lug truck, and maybe it got a little bit wider. But for the most part, there would be a big difference between the rotor and the adapter. And the reason is because that spacer or adapter – it only would mount to the area where the back of the wheel were. You know what? We're starting to prove this. That is not a spacer.
It's not. Actually, now that you think about it, look at the size that compared to the Kia. No. I mean, that's got to be somewhere around 10 to 12 inches. Yeah?
That's a rotor.
Yeah.
That's a hub failure. Mm-hmm. That is not a spacer failure. Because a spacer would be almost the same exact size as... only the part of your rotor where
the mounting pad, essentially, the
mounting surface of the rotor.
Right.
Whereas this is clearly larger than that.
Way larger.
So this to me is a failure of a hub assembly. Now, that's going to be a stock hub assembly. Mm-hmm. So right there, Governor Newsom. I mean, get your highway people on this, but. Let's not overly take this out on people. Now let's go one step further. You got some more info?
Tell me if I'm seeing this correctly. Do you see when the key is midair and the roof is completely down? Tell me if you see the airbags deploy and an explosion come from.
Yeah,
What does that matter for our hub?
See if I'm looking at that correctly.
But what does that matter for the hub? Anyhow, it doesn't. All right. So anyhow, with this all said,
crazy.
That was a nasty day. All right, so hub has a failure, wheel leaves the building, wheel then comes back for more, smashes the vehicle again like it hadn't had enough, and there goes the vehicle. So all right, so the hub separated, but let's talk about some other things that it could have been if we didn't use our expertise to realize that this was a hub failure.
What could it be?
All right. Obviously hub failure. Then it could be the fact that it went to some place and the wheel, let's say he just had new tires put on and they torqued it, and improper torque. Now, also whenever you have wheels or you take off your wheels, you put on your wheels, anything you take time, you take a wheel off, put it back on. It's recommended that you retorque the wheels, retorque your mounting hardware within 25 miles of use. So there is a theory that, you know, maybe it was improperly torqued, or maybe it just wasn't retorqued to the proper to the proper torque spec. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's number two. Number three, it's possible that this person could have gotten wheels and tires on using the installer or whatever it may be, use the wrong installation mounting hardware, right? Like hypothetically, you know, instead of using a conical seat, you end up using a ball seat, mm-hmm. something to that effect. Again, I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just giving some hypotheticals as to where some of these. Yeah, let's get my head back into this picture. So that's another hypothetical. By the way, really nice looking Ultragram right there.
Yeah.
Woo. All right. So it could be that. It could be stud failure.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, let's be honest.
Too much wear on your studs.
Let's say you have a 200,000 mile vehicle, and you know you've gone to every wheel and tire shop that doesn't use a proper torque wrench.
Ugga.
Uses the ugga dugga method and just leans into it with their impact gun, and you've done this for
wheel studs.
Yeah, you've done this for 200,000 miles, and then eventually you just run into a fatigue issue and. You know, just enough stress on the studs there, and you know, studs break clear off, and wheels gone.
Off it goes.
And off it goes.
Yeah, wow.
Right. So that's clearly an option or a possibility as well. So you know, there's some things here,
mm-hmm.
and I don't feel that it's fair to classify this just on an aftermarket sense. There could have been a whole bunch of different errors that led to something like this. And I'd like to chalk up that this is not a mass casualty. Like, in other words, I'm not even talking about this. I'm talking about, like, Rich, is this something that we see every day?
No.
Do we see this a lot?
No.
Do we see this more than a few times a month?
No.
Do we see this once a year?
No.
No, I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying, like,
uncommon.
Right. I mean, listen, what got this clip in the news was the fact that that car went super high.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've told Max this story a few times, but like I was just driving on local roads, you know, just local roads one time with my old Civic, and I used to have this set of neochrome lug nuts, and they were garbage. They were just like super cheap quality lug nuts,
yep.
And I just loved the way they looked. And, you know, at the time I wanted a show car, you know, I wanted to look all fancy and whatnot.
Right, so you got the lug nuts, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, you want every little touch to every little touch to look nice on it, you know. But
every little touch, guys.
All right.
Every little touch. Oh, go ahead.
All right. And I was driving, and I was at a red light, and some dude gets out of his car and comes up to me, comes to my window, and he goes, "Yo, your wheel's like really wobbly." And I was like, "Is it?" And he's like, "Something's wrong with it. You should go check it out." So I pull over on the side of the road, and I was missing two lug nuts. On a 5-lug, you know, car, I was missing two, and then the other three, you basically could have just, I think you literally, not basically, you literally could have just took them off with your hand.
Yeah.
They were that loose.
Yeah.
And those lug nuts were, like, basically made out of aluminum foil. Like, it was, like, so flimsy, aluminum, lightweight, crappy.
Yeah.
And, I would have lost my damn wheel.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well,
so.
And you would have had some other problems besides the wheel.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You know, like, but thankfully I was driving on a road that like speed limit was like 35 or something.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I, you know, it could be a whole bunch of stuff.
Listen, that's my point, yeah. Right? That's my point. My point is that, you know, buying good quality mounting hardware,
right.
Having the proper installation, you know, doing things that are correct, will certainly allow this to happen, but you also have to determine. And you have to inspect your vehicle
mm-hmm.
for wear. Hubs wear. That's why they sell replacement ones.
Yep.
Like, things wear. Like, I'll tell you a story that happened to me that is not like this, but similar. Is I was getting off an on-ramp one time when I was like... Getting on an off ramp. Did we nail that?
That sounds more correct. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was doing.
Getting on an off ramp.
So I get off the ramp, and as I'm going around the ramp to approach onto the next street.
Yes.
My wheel tire hub assembly.
Mm-hmm.
and the top part of the knuckle. Yeah, they head out. So it wasn't my car. Mm-hmm. I was driving it for somebody else. The ball joint was extremely far gone. It broke, mm-hmm. and it took the entire knuckle bolted up to the wheel and everything right off the car, and the car went down, down onto the ground and basically slid, and I had one wheel steer. You know what I mean? It was awful.
Man,
very scary. Luckily, I wasn't really going that fast, so it was actually right off the Southern State, getting off of like Wellwood, that one. I just kind of I turned the wheel to the left, hoping that would be the direction I would go, but I just kind of just. Kind of went off into the dirt there.
You could have learned a thing or two from James. He was really driving on three wheels pretty well.
Yeah. Well, with respect to James, that was his rear wheel. This is my front. You know what I mean? I don't want to throw shade, but James, let's go ahead and see you try that again with, without the front wheel. So, these things do happen. It's unfortunate. I think that there's a lot of different measures in. I think that when it comes down to some of these car things and, politicians get on and they try to make this thing like they're going to save the world. They're going to put in mm-hmm. all these new laws, regulations to make a world of difference. That they're going to prevent anything from ever happening to you through governance. And I just don't think that that's possible, nor do I think it's fair, because I think it's a false sense of hope for everybody else. And when you talk about these things, if you want to do anything, look at the regulations that are on the board now, getting your car inspected once a year, things like that. I don't know. These are things that we have to look at. But, you can't stop mechanical failures. I don't know. Do we have any questions? Anything?
Yeah, no. There's Doug's Welding and Fabrication.
What up, Doug?
He says absolutely nothing funny about the wheel flying off and causing the other vehicle to launch. Sorry, but just not that. But I don't think that's just not.
Yeah. So I don't think we're laughing about the wheel coming off of the car, as much as just the incredibleness of the damage that could happen from that car hitting that wheel, mm-hmm. right? But yeah, it's a real thing, and it's repeatable to a point. I just think, where is the fault there? It really to me looks like that rotor
hub assembly.
That hub assembly failed. That to me. I mean, Doug, you seem to be in the fabrication and trade. Do you agree that you feel that is a hub assembly failure? I mean, I would. Looks to me pretty clear. Looks to me from those pictures, that's what it is. I still think it's ironic that wheel then, after that car took flight, came back. I mean, where did that wheel go? So he shoots it back, and the wheel keeps rolling forward and comes back and hits the car.
Where does the truck go, actually? I don't even.
Off to the side.
Yeah, I know. So I guess he pulls over right now? I don't even look at
it. He has no choice. He has no wheel.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, he was in control enough to get to the side, the shoulder?
I don't know. I think once that happened, I think he was on a hard diversion path off to the right anyway.
I really wish we had a better thing to tell what that was.
Looks like a rotor to me.
Yeah.
No, I'm waiting to see if Doug. Are you on the? Are you live?
I am.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
Curious to see what Doug's thinks is what. Let's see. Yeah. I don't know. Anyhow, so I don't know. That's an interesting piece, but I do think that there's plenty of things to learn in that situation. I mean, could you have had a spacer or an adapter that failed? Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If that was the case.
Well, do you mean failed or just kind of not
installed correctly?
Yeah, just the whole package wasn't done right.
Reason that we don't endorse spacers is just because of the variables that exist. I mean, for the truth of the matter is that when you start looking at things like,
thread engagement,
quality, right? That's another good one, right?
Yeah.
Quality of the spacer adapter material,
mm-hmm.
quality of the stud that was used on that spacer or adapter. What about the hardware that was used to hold? You know, you when you have an adapter, you have two sets of hardware.
Mm-hmm.
You have the hardware that holds the adapter spacer to the hub.
Yep, and then the one to the wheel.
Right. And there's another piece to this, too, is that if you put on something like that, now you have to ensure that all these things sit perfectly flat and centric to each other. For example, I'm going to take... I have this rotor mounting surface. I'm going to put on an adapter or a rotor. I mean, an adapter or a spacer. And when I go to put this on the vehicle, are there any brake clips? Are there anything here that's causing any issue where this thing won't sit perfectly flat against the hub, right? Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, when I'm torquing this thing down, am I getting the proper torque? Like, am I achieving the proper thread engagement from the spacer onto... there's Doug. Let's see what he says.
He said,
it almost looks like the rotor is still attached to the wheel. That's what Doug, and that's exactly, I'm glad that you feel the same way, because that's exactly how I think. Like, I think this is a hub failure.
Right.
Whereas it's not, something that has to do necessarily with like something with a spacer or an adapter. Now, I think some people, you know what's weird to me, even just looking at this, doesn't it look like the front wheel is wider in that front left?
You know, I was just about to say that they don't look like they're poking that much. I mean, I know...
Front does, right?
I know it's a real... Well, it might have been halfway off at that point.
I don't know. If a wheel was starting to come off like that, you'd really see some movement.
Well, my point is, what I was going to say is that it doesn't look that poked out in
really
the rear.
It really is wild.
I mean, it's a truck, so it's kind of hard to tell because there's a lot of space
but
there.
But the rear does... Oh, my God. I can't the wheel. Here's the thing. It almost looks like the from that angle. And again, he's coming into the lane, so it's an angle perspective. But
yeah.
That front wheel. I mean, maybe it was like a spare, or he had mismatched, you know, wheels or whatever. But let's continue down the road of the things it could be, because I think it's a good conversation.
Yeah.
So the adapter. We're talking about thread engagement that has to hold that a spacer and an adapter onto the hub. That's a possible
thing. I was going to ask you a question. It's kind of like a follow-up question on this stuff. When you use an adapter, is there a kind of standard size that the new center bore of the adapter is?
No. In fact, there is difference, and that there's a difference there between hub-centric and non-hub-centric spacers. You need to make sure that when you put on the first spacer adapter that there is... You know, you want to be hub-centric on that side.
No, but what about the adapter to wheel?
That's, again, custom to what you order.
So you can get an adapter that has two different center bore sizes for hub and wheel?
Yes.
On the same adapter?
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah, wow.
No, it's not, really. Think about it like this. Think about a circular piece of aluminum, right? And now you drill, and let's say you were to particularly order something that was manufactured, or if you were to have one made where they're going to basically say, all right, you know, you need to have 110.2 millimeters on this side. So they bore out 110.2 millimeters on this side. And now on this side, they're going to machine away everything except for the hub size that you need, you know, the hub size that you'll need to go into whatever wheel you're using.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, you can absolutely do that.
I guess.
Right?
It seems like they would have to make a lot of... parts, a lot of different part numbers.
But there's no different than how many wheels we have to make to be able to fit vehicles.
Right. It seems like a lot. I don't know.
No, I mean, it could be a lot. And not everyone's going to buy it. But there's what I'm saying is the variable there that exists is what's the quality that you bought? What kind of piece did you buy?
Yeah.
Right? So, but then let's go back to this thread engagement hub thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got a bunch of things going on. And this is why, again, why we don't endorse the use of spacers. There's too many variables to where mistakes can be made.
Right.
You got the flat against the hub thing. Then you have the thread engagement that has to exist properly, and the hardware that has to be
of quality
to hold the spacer flat and securely to the vehicle. Then you have to have a quality set of studs coming out of the spacer adapter, and then you have to, again, use quality hardware to hold the wheel onto against the spacer. Now, there's one more thing.
Are the studs already,
If you buy the quote unquote adapter, then yes. If you were to buy, let's say, a pure spacer
yep.
that requires you to put extended lug studs or something
yes,
on,
yes.
then there wouldn't be any there.
Okay.
Right? But now let's go one step further. And we see this. People sometimes they'll send us a message and they'll ask us things about, are your wheels cavity backed? And what they're referring to is in the back of a wheel mounting pad, there's usually an area that's like cut out between the lug holes.
Mm-hmm.
If it is, it's technically called cavity backed. Now, there's a lot of reasons that companies do this, usually including removing weight that's not necessarily for strength. To try to reduce some of the rotating mass. And what happens is when you put on you take a spacer or an adapter, you put it on, you tighten down the hardware that then holds that spacer to the hub of the vehicle.
Okay.
In theory, you don't want anything protruding past the face of that spacer or adapter. Mm-hmm. But majority of the time, that's not the case. There's usually either the stock stud, if you're not cutting them, that sticks out a little bit, or the edge of the mounting hardware that's protruding past into, past that spacer face.
Mm-hmm.
People then look for things called wheels that are cavity back because they're hoping that when they're set, that they're that little bit of stick out will find a home in the cavity back and allow no interference to be made so that the wheel can then be bolted flat against the hub.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Cavity backs are not all made the same. And cavity backs aren't intended for you to put spacers on. So, you know, if you have, let's say, a 5 in 100 car and you do this, now the pattern on the PCD is much smaller toward the center. And when you do that, you potentially run into an issue where that hardware could hit the bottom of part of the taper of that cavity back. In other words, even if it appears to be snug, there's a possibility that you can miss the fact that the wheel is not properly flattened mm-hmm. to that spacer. So there's so many issues that will have and that will cause the wheel to basically vibrate off the car.
Yep.
I mean, there's so many issues, and that's why we just don't endorse the use of them. However, this clearly to me is an example of a hub failure that would potentially have happened no matter, you know, what was on that vehicle. Can I do one more argument?
Go for it.
There's going to be somebody that's going to put in the comments at some point, well, they had wheels that were let's assume there's no spacer.
Okay.
They had wheels that were sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it must have put extra stress on the hub and the hub bearing and caused the hub bearing to fail. Somebody's going to say that. I think on a technical level, there is something there. This isn't one of those things that's going to make a hub fail. Like take a perfectly good hub and make a hub fail. This is a hub that was bad, high mileage, or totally out to lunch.
That's crazy.
And, you know, just to go back real quick, James Houghton. So Kias are actually safe. you see this all the time. There's a reason that, Consumer Reports that does all the crash tests?
Yeah.
There's a reason that they test those cars and they give it a rating, right? Like, I mean, the proof's in the pudding. Like, that Kia took flight.
Yeah.
You know, like, for a solid few seconds, technically that was a UFO. I'm just saying, like that thing, I'm super happy everybody's okay. I know I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing at that situation. That's not funny. But that wheel gets me every time, though. But here's the thing. That Kia took a shot.
Sure did.
And they said that person's perfectly fine. Walked away with scratches or something.
Yep.
I mean, Kia, you got my vote. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, you could say what you want. I feel that Kia Soul.
That's pretty good advertising for them. They could be like, listen, these things are indestructible. You get in trouble in this, you're fine.
Max, am I right? The crash star ratings go from 0 to 5, right? I think the crash star ratings go from 0 to 5. I think that NHTSA may want to consider maybe increasing this rank just by like at least a half a star.
Or we should find out what's a 5-star, and then someone should really test it.
Send another hub assembly down the road.
Right, exactly.
I mean, this is wild. So listen, I think there's a variety of reasons you'll hear us say things like we don't really endorse the use of spacers or be safe, or there's so many things that could potentially go wrong, or we constantly say, you know, if you're uneasy or unsure, you don't have an experience, make sure you contact a local wheel and tire professional. And for all these reasons, even a wheel and tire professional, you know, while, you know, this may have not been the most obvious catch, you know, if you go in there and check your wheels or tires and there's something that's like obviously wrong, they're going to say it to you.
What about, how would you say overall rolling diameter plays a role into any of this, if any at all?
I don't think it does.
So if the guy ended up doing something that's completely out of whack from his factory, from the overall rolling diameter from factory, like, you don't think that plays any kind of extra strain stress on the hub assembly?
No, I think you can make more of an argument that, that the overall weight of the wheel and tire package could potentially be more disturbing than the overall rolling diameter. But with that said, I don't believe that either one of those factors are something that would cause a hub failure on its own.
Well, if you had a bigger overall rolling diameter, wouldn't that also, like, so in other words, let's say the scenario that the stock setup came with like a 17-inch with like a 65 profile tire, right?
Okay.
Say something like that. And then he ends up doing, say, 18 inches with a big, I don't know, say
40-inch tire.
Yeah, 40-inch tire, right. Something like that. That would, since it's also a larger overall rolling diameter.
I don't think that has any bearing in causing a hub failure.
But it's also going to indicate that it's going to have an overall, you know, mass.
Well, yeah, but like, but think of it like this. Like, so a truck is towing something. Right?
Yep.
All right. So you hook up something to your truck and you're towing. Once you start to get that, once you use the power to get that vehicle to move, now that mass is in movement. It takes much less effort than to continue pulling it down the road.
Right.
But now let's take that weight and change the downforce. In other words, let's put a lot more tongue weight or less tongue weight on that trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now the trailer becomes unstable, but in a totally different direction. So it's not the weight of the trailer. It's now the placement of where the weight is on the trailer, right? So,
yeah, that's
and I guess what I'm saying to you is, like, I don't think over a rolling diameter or, you know, really plays over rolling diameter or the weight of the wheel and tire package really plays that much of a failure in a hub failure sense, or a dangerous sense. I think that if anything here, this is clearly to me a hub failure that happened.
Yeah.
Certainly unfortunate timing, but knowing that everybody's all right is pretty crazy.
Yep.
It's good. It's great. You know, I'm very happy for them. So I don't know. I mean, listen, this all just goes back to, listen, you own a car. I think about this from an airplane perspective. You're like, where are we going with this?
Yeah, where are we going with this?
All right. A pilot.
Okay.
Could be on a. I love where we go with these. A pilot could be operating the same plane all day long on his travels.
Yep.
He could. His job could be to go to 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 different cities, stops. Right? Could be a regional airline. Maybe they're going from Baltimore to New York and then to Vermont. You know what I mean? Like.
Still don't know where we're going with this, but yeah.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
So, he's been on the same plane the whole time. Mm-hmm. In the morning when he came out to get on his plane, he walked around the plane. He inspected the plane. Am I right?
As any good pilot would.
Excellent. Now, every single flight he makes,
mm-hmm.
even though he's on the same plane and he hasn't flown that long
yep.
or that far, every single flight before he takes flight, he's going to go back downstairs, walk around the plane and do the inspection all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
As any good pilot would.
But as vehicle owners and operators,
yep,
we get in the car, we don't look at nothing.
You're right. You're right.
So what I'm saying is at certain intervals, there should be some sort of part of the owner that has to look around and try to just make sure the vehicle is in roadworthy conditions to make sure it's operable and not going to shoot their hub at a Kia.
It's too much to ask.
Well, then do we let the pilot off when he decides?
Some people don't change their oil, Scott. I don't know. It's crazy.
What I'm saying is here is that how is it possible? What the only difference is that this guy has way more people at one time, right? The pilot has way more people at one time in each flight.
Right.
And he's got a set of rules and regulations to check over his thing. And there's that whole thing of, you know, they're all the way up in the sky.
Yep.
Right?
There's a very big risk to not being prepared.
Okay, let me just throw this preparation thing in.
Yeah.
Right? I'm now operating a vehicle that's unsafe.
Yep.
I'm driving down a road, and on that road are three or four different school buses
mm-hmm.
packed full of kids.
Yep.
And I'm going to shoot all my hubs all over the road.
Can you have national headlines, tragic news on the way.
But what I'm saying is the only difference here is all these people are not, you know, 10,000 feet, 20,000 feet up in the air.
There's more differences. I could think of a couple. One difference would be is that you're forced essentially to have car insurance. So people think, hey, accidents happen all the time, and then you go through insurance.
You don't think airlines have insurance?
No, but the people on the plane doesn't. They don't. They don't have.
But they're not going to shoot anything of you. It's the pilot's job to go walk the plane.
I know, but I'm saying, like, if you get into a plane crash, you die. If you get into a car accident, live. If you're, you know, lucky enough to live, you have car insurance. So people, like, the aftermath, they can kind of think about, like, later.
I don't know that we're on the same page on this one.
No.
Well, I just feel like, you know, what I'm saying is that don't you think there's some operator.
The carelessness comes from people have insurance and stuff and whatever.
Yeah.
There's ways out of it. That's what I'm trying to say. That there's ways out of it if you're lucky enough to live through a car crash. You know, that's my point.
I like to think that, all right, yes, I'm a car.
I think that's what makes people
understand.
Be more.
I'm obviously drawing a very critical line, and I'm also drawing something that's very, like, over the edge, right? Mm-hmm. But I like to think that on a serious note, that as a car enthusiast, obviously I know probably more than the average car bear, but but with that said, you know, like I do look around in my vehicles. Before I get in the vehicle, I do kind of glance at my tires, just, you know, subconsciously to make sure that there's air in them.
Better man, like, than I am.
I do take notice if I think something feels wrong when I'm driving.
That I do.
And if something feels wrong, I pull over and I take a peek.
Yeah, except I always normally look in the parking lot to make sure there's no puddles underneath my car. Right. So I do that.
But, like, all right, my check engine, not my check engine, my TPMS light comes on while I'm driving on the expressway.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. This is a great example. Rich, you're on the Long Island Expressway,
mm-hmm.
and you are driving in the right lane.
Right lane, yep.
Okay, you're in the right lane. No, middle lane. We're in middle lane.
Wow.
Middle lane.
Feeling daring.
You're doing 66 miles per hour.
Wow. It's a good time.
And out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
no problems, your TPMS light comes on.
Plot twist, my TPMS lights are on all the time. I don't have sensors, so they're always on. But
just proving my point before we even get there.
I don't have sensors, so.
All right, so, but let's say, can we put the sensors back in for this demonstration?
Yes, we can.
So the sensors are in.
Mm-hmm.
TPMS light comes on. What do you do?
I keep driving.
Fair. I would say if we could start a poll,
yeah,
that 90% of people will do this.
This is not joking. I'm being completely serious. This is the real factor. How far am I from my destination? That's the real factor.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's the real thing.
10 miles.
10 miles. The newer cars show you exactly what the reading is from, like, your screen. So in my
so mine doesn't.
Okay, so this is just a straight light.
It's just a straight light.
And it's an enigma. I have no idea where I'm at.
Car feels fine, but the light came on. And damn. We're talking about a split second. Car, yeah, the light's on. What do we do?
Yeah, I probably pull over.
You do?
Yeah, 10 miles, I pull over.
10 miles. Now, keep in mind,
if it was sudden like that.
Keep in mind, 60 miles an hour in the left lane, 10 miles is going to be equivalent of about 8 minutes on this road and another couple minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're talking about 10 minutes. You're going to be there in 12 minutes.
Yeah, I'd probably pull over.
Okay, you'll pull over.
Yeah, I'd probably pull over and just check. Make sure it's not blown tires.
I would say 90% of the people see that light and they go, okay, so I'll have to have somebody look at that. Right?
Yeah. I mean, if it comes on suddenly.
Some of my family
driving,
members
you
do that.
You gotta be sure just to check.
Right. Yeah. So, but I'm one of those guys, light comes on, my blinker's on 10 seconds later. I'm getting off. I mean, granted, I'm in a safe place to go. If I'm on the GWB,
yeah.
If I'm on the George Washington Bridge, I'll get to the other side, find a safe place. But like, I mean, if I'm on the expressway, like I'll pull off. You know, if I can pull off an exit, great. If I can pull off and there's a good, you know, nice shoulder, I'll get off and I'll at least walk around it. You know, I'll at least walk around it. Because here's the thing: in a flat tire situation, if you were to have a situation where the tire just got that nail and just went down enough to trigger the light, if you stop at that point and either put enough air in it to get yourself to, you know, limp yourself off, mm-hmm. or if you're able to repair the
hole.
Yeah, right. Plug the tire or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I keep a tire plug kit in my car, of course. Then you save the tire. No buying new tires. You fixed it. You're done.
Yep.
If you were to continue to drive and the air depletes, that air will get hot, and that's what causes a catastrophic blowout. So that tire's done. Plus, again, now let's go back to where the owner operation becomes a factor. You have a blowout. How skilled are you in controlling your vehicle? What if that blowout's in the front left? What if it's in the front right? You know, where it really controls the steering. Do you have a smooth path to get over? Like, what happens? Your reaction now is everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I always pull over when I see a TPMS light because let me spend 2 seconds walking around the vehicle to find out, is that baby going flat immediately? Like, did I have a massive blowout, like a massive, leak or whatever? Or is this something that I can get to? It doesn't even look that bad. You know, I have a little, you know, $10 from Amazon tire pressure gauge I keep in all my cars. I just, you know, quickly hit each tire. I know which one it is. Mm-hmm. If it's 2 pounds different, 3 pounds different, one, it really shouldn't trigger the light. But if it is, I'm like, all right, well, it can't be that flat, right? It can't be that bad. So maybe I'll put a little bit of air in it and then, you know, head off into the sunset. And if the light comes back, I know I got a problem.
Yep.
Right? I'm just saying, like, these are all things.
Oh, I got a story for you. I don't know how related it is, but yeah. I'll be quick with it.
I understand.
So, you actually know the lug nuts I had on my Velocirad, which were the bag of lug nuts I have here. Right. You remember those crappy...
Yes, bag of lug nuts.
Yeah, those...
Yes, you don't have to say it.
Okay. But they're inverted lugs, and they have a key. I cracked a factory wheel on the Bell Parkway.
Yeah.
With the Hyundai, and I got a flat tire, cracked wheel, etc. I was trying to just change my tire. I have a spare that the car doesn't come with a spare. I bought a spare. The spare was off of a Kia Stinger is what I bought it off of eBay to have in my car because I wanted a spare tire. So I go change my tire on the side of the highway, and the key for the lug nuts, I actually snapped it in half. I snapped the key in half. I pulled too much, and it ripped off. Half of it was stuck in the inverted lug. Half of it was in the lug wrench.
Right.
And I said, wow, what the hell do I do now? So I was on my way to work, and I ended up just leaving my car on the side of the highway, and I went back for it the next day. So I ended up getting into a shop towed, and they had to take it off, and I put on the spare that I had in the back with new lugs.
Right.
And I put on the spare, and I didn't realize that the spare that I got was such off on size with a 19-inch wheel with 35 profile or something like that. And the spare I had was like an 18-inch spare, which is like the biggest you could find. You know, like an 18-inch, but I thought the tire was thick enough to kind of compensate for a 19-inch with a 35 profile. And I had to drive home on the highway for like, I think it was a 17-mile drive with way different size one wheel.
Where was the wheel?
Front right.
Well,
front,
so
front
just,
passenger on a front wheel drive
just so
car.
You know, if that happens to you next time, you take the front wheel off, you take the rear wheel off.
Right,
put it on the front.
And I would have swapped it. But no, I kept it on there, which I should have swapped, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? So I took a 17-mile drive with it pulling this way the whole time. And I was like, wow, this is crazy.
More left rudder.
Yeah, really, that's what it felt like, man. And I said, whoa, this was a horrible purchase.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That was it.
We can't win them all, Rich. We can't win them all.
Yeah, I made it home. Here I am.
All right. We accomplished something. I'm not sure what it was, but we did.
Yeah.
So that's it. Don't forget, in just a couple days, make sure if you're interested, check out the store, store.koenigwheels.com. We got some merch, some cool things. Yeah, there's some blue hats that look really dope. I like those. Black, gray, all that cool stuff. New shirts coming. Look out for those next week. And that's pretty much it. Don't forget this piece of content that's coming out on this Friday.
Chris Fix.
Yeah. Chris Fix is going to be doing us a car walk around, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On his BMW Lemons.
Yep. The 24-hour Lemons car. So that's cool. Make sure you check that out. And don't forget, we put a piece of content up every Friday on our YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed. And for those of you subscribed on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and iHeartMedia, thank you. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll be back here with you next week, where we do this whole podcast thing. Take care.